إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، tip number 5 is to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, as I mentioned in the earlier tip, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu loves the one He sends you to more than you. Now, I'm not saying that this is actually the fact, maybe wallahu alam, but definitely if you look at what Allah wants for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants hidayat for them, Allah wants jannah for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His best of His creation to the people who denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the anbiya to those people. So obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people, and it's a very good thing for the dawat to keep this in mind, because it keeps us free from or at least safe from arrogance, from believing, and shaitan is always there to help us to believe falsehood, from believing that we are better than those people because they are not praying, they don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are committing shirk, they are doing this, they are doing that, they are involved in all kinds of haram, and therefore we feel that we are better than them. But this is not the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them more because Allah sent you to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent you to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them somebody who is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Now, therefore, your job is to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent you to introduce Him to them. Allah did not send you to introduce yourself or your own silly organization or something to those people. Allah didn't send you for that reason. Allah sent you to introduce Himself to them. And that is where the waqar, that is where the beauty, that is where the status of the work of da'wah comes. That who is the da'i? The da'i is the one who introduces Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His creation. Udu ila Allah. Qul hadhihi sabili. Udu ila Allah. Ala basiratin. That what is my way? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told, say that this is my way. Adu ila Allah, I invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with evidence. So the job of the da'wat is to invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very often we see that this doesn't happen. We end up seeing people inviting. They will mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on, and then they will invite toward their organization, they will talk about their courses, they will talk about themselves, and all of this is completely destroys your niyyah, destroys your ikhlas. So talk only about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talk only about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and talk only about the akhirah. Three things: Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the akhirah. Tawheed, risalat, and the akhirah, because that is where we are going. So don't talk about yourself, don't talk about your organization. If at the end of the meeting the person knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him but has forgotten your name, you have been very successful. Make this as your standard. At the end of the meeting, the person should know Allah, he should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should know Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he should want to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he should have forgotten your name. Now, if you achieve this, inshallah, you are very successful, because trying to promote yourself is completely self, it is detrimental, it is harmful to you and to the work. Another point which is connected with this is the importance of using Quranic terminology. This again is one of the problems today that we find, where people mindlessly translate Quranic terminology, the Arabic words and phrases, into English or into Urdu or whichever language. Now, quite forgetting the fact that when that phrase is translated like that, it loses the noor which is in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a noor in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can never be in your kalam. can never be in your translation. The Quranic terminology is absolutely essential. Use the Quranic terminology for two reasons. First of all, take for example the word Rabb, which is always everywhere. In English, it is translated into Lord. So you say, Allah is my Lord. Now, if you're speaking to a Hindu and you say, Allah is my Lord, he's got no problem with that. He's got no question to ask you. We said, fine, there's no problem. Alhamdulillah, Allah is your Lord. Krishna is my Lord. Rama is my Lord. Shiva is my Lord. So-and-so, Ganesha is my Lord. So like you have Lord Allah, I've got four Lords. Now, if you talk to a Christian, you say, Allah is my Lord. He says, no problem. Jesus is my Lord. So the issue is that we understand the words in our language in the way that we have been accustomed to understanding them. So when you're using a word of a particular language, the word is not free from its contextual meaning. The word is not free from the circumstances in which it is understood in the normal sense in which it is used. So if you're using a word which is a normal common word in the language, then it comes with that baggage. If I say teacher, I'm understanding teacher as my teacher. If I say father, I understand father as my father. So similarly, you say Lord, Allah is my Lord, then it means he understands Lord whichever way he understands the word Lord. On the other hand, if you say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen, you say Allah is my Rabb, then immediately the person says, what's that? What does Rabb mean? That opens the door to you to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And then you can talk about the rububiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can talk about His glory and majesty, you can talk about the fact that He is the creator, the sustainer, the maintainer, and that He has no partners, and that He is the only one worthy of worship. None of that will happen unless that person asks you a question. And that question will not come unless there is a word he does not understand. So quite opposite to normally the introductions or sales pitches that we are accustomed to giving. You don't try to make it easy for the person to understand everything. You actually deliberately cause a degree of difficulty which will encourage the person to ask you a question, so that now the door opens to you introducing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's always more productive to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a result of the question from that person, rather than you introducing on your own. So that's one benefit. As I said, for example, the word Lord. Another one, for example, is very commonly, and this happens all the time. Those who translate, they translate the word ayah or ayat as verse or verses. So we say verse of the Quran, verse of the Quran. Now let me ask this question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahari la ayatin li ulil albab. In Surah Al-Imran, go look up the ayat. In that ayat, in the surah, you will find the translation of the word ayat as signs. So how is it that you translate the same word ayat as signs when it comes in the Quran? And when you are referring to the ayat of the Quran, you say verses. Makes absolutely zero sense. And again, the same problem. So if you say to somebody, verse so and so. Take for example the same ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the day and the night, there are signs for people of intelligence. Let us use the translation verses for ayat. In the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the day and the night, there are verses for people of intelligence. Doesn't make any sense. Verses for people of intelligence, what is the meaning of that? Makes no sense. But if you say signs, immediately it makes sense, because a sign is something that needs to be understood. A sign is something that announces something. A sign is something that warns about something. A sign is something that promises something. A sign is something that shows a direction towards some place. So the moment you say sign, then immediately it's a different meaning. So if you say to people in the Quran, the ayat, and there don't translate that even as sign. Say the ayat of the Quran. People say, what is an ayah? Door opens again. An ayah is a sign. These are the signals. These are the signs. This is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu, direct message of Allah. Allah is speaking. These are the signs. The Quran is not a book of science. It's a book of signs. S-I-G-N-S. So therefore, use the word ayah. Use the word ayat to mean sign, or signs to mean the language of the Quran. Don't use the word verses. Chapters, What's that? The Quran is not a storybook with chapter 1, chapter 2. The Quran has suwar, plural. Surah is the singular. It's something which is complete, which has a picture, a surah. So therefore, very important to use the Quranic terminology, and you can apply this to all the other words that we use. One of the funniest, in a rather non-funny way, is the way the kalima itself is translated. If you look at the way the kalima is translated, many times you find this. There is no God but God. La ilaha illallah is translated as there is no God but God. What does it mean? It's like some kind of a riddle. There's no God but God. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the allergy to the name of Allah? It is not, after all, Islam is the worship of Allah alone. It's not the worship of one God. It's not the worship of God, right? If somebody says, I worship only Jesus, nobody else, is he a Muslim? No. Worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalalhu, who has an entity, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is not a concept. Allah is not a figment of the imagination. Allah exists. Allah is actually there. So therefore, use the word La ilaha illallah. There's no one worthy of worship except Allah. Don't say there's no God but God. Last point on this is to use the actual ayat of the Quran when you are talking to people. Recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't just give the meaning. As Allah said, verse number so-and-so, chapter number so-and-so, and this. First of all, that statement is wrong because Allah did not say that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke in Arabic. He didn't speak in English or Urdu or whatever it was. So the statement is factually incorrect. And secondly, the translation, as I said, does not have the noor of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To read the translation is not ibadah. When you are reciting the ayah, think about this. When you're reciting the ayah, what are the benefits? First and foremost, you are enabling that person to actually hear the Quran, which he or she may never have heard in their lives. The many, many people that I've spoken to many times who have never actually heard the recitation of the Quran, many non-Muslims, they've never heard it. So first time in their lives, they actually hear the recitation of the Quran. And you and I have no clue how that affects their hearts. This was from day one. The Sahaba, so many Sahaba accepted Islam. They said, we heard this, and they said, this is not the word of any human being. This is divine. It said to them, it entered their hearts. They listened to it and it entered their hearts. So why do you want to deny your audience that beauty and that pleasure and that of the Quran entering them? So recite. So first benefit of recitation is that for the first time they are hearing the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. Second benefit, as I mentioned before, the Quran has a power that is not there in your language. No matter what translation, no matter what language, the power of the Arabic recitation cannot be duplicated. It cannot come into your language or my language, no matter how well you speak it. So don't deny that power. Number three, that power comes to you as well. When you are reciting the Quran, it takes you to a different level. It increases your iman, inshallah, hopefully, because that's what the heart is supposed to be, and the iman of other people. So three. Fourth benefit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you 10 hasanat for every letter of the ayah that you recited. So even if nothing happens at the end of that recitation, if nobody comes to Islam, you still have got the hasanat, the value of 1:10 for every single letter of what you recited. And the people who are hearing you will also get the same reward for listening to the Quran. Now, why would you want to deny people that by giving some translation of the ayah? Very important, however, that you learn to recite the Quran properly. There's no charm in reciting the Quran wrong. Wrong tajweed, don't recite the Quran in Urdu, don't recite the Quran in Telugu, don't recite the Quran in some language, recite the Quran in Arabic because the Quran is Arabic. So learn to recite it properly. I'm not talking about the tune, I'm talking about the pronunciation, the tajweed of the Quran, which is very, very important to learn and to recite the Quran properly. So use the Quran al-Kareem as the tool of your da'wah, which is why it came, which is what Rasulullah ﷺ used to do, and therefore make sure that you take the benefit from that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to be pleased with you and to help you and guide you and to enable you, your words to reach the hearts of people, and to enable your words to bring humility in your own heart and in my heart. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and not to be displeased with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman.